Yes, I am late to the party. I tend to be late to parties. Have always been. Probably always will be. I almost didn't want to show up. That's why I'm late. Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining me for another episode. Wanted to just touch on something that most of the internet has already talked about. It's kind of died down by now, but I wanted to throw my 5 cents in because, like a lot of other people who shared their thoughts and spoke their mind, I had one thread, should I say, of one train of thought rather, about Mrs. Aisha Curry. I felt the same way a lot of people did on the internet. I was just like reading through comment sections and I'm like, yeah, I agree. But then other things came to mind. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, within recent weeks on the talk show called Red Table Talks that Miss Jada Pinkett Smith hosts, it's a very informal, very girl talk, sit down and chat around a red table, hence the name type of thing. And she tends to have a lot of influential people and celebrities on that show. The episode that we're going to touch on today is the one where Stephen Curry's wife, Aisha Curry, and Stephen Curry's mother, Aisha's mother-in-law, his sister, and I believe a sister-in-law would have been there too, and then Jada's mother and Willow Smith, Jada's daughter, were all around the red table and they were talking. So the big brouhaha is around something that Aisha Curry said. She spoke about insecurities of her own, specifically that of being a baller's wife and her feeling like Steph gets all this attention from women and she doesn't get any attention from men. And she feels less than because she doesn't get attention from men. She specifically mentioned that sometimes she'll be standing next to him and she has to introduce herself and everybody will be paying more attention to him than to her. And then when the groupies come along, they're like falling all over him and she's just kind of there and she doesn't get any attention from men, whereas he gets attention from groupies. So, that's the long story, kind of short. I know. A lot of people online were, I guess, depending on how you look at it, rightfully pissed off at what she said. There were two camps in this whole thing. There was the group of people that felt like, how dare you say that you want attention from men? Stephen Curry is your husband. You have it all. What do you mean you want attention from men? You're married. You're not supposed to. I mean, what? And then there was the camp that was kind of siding with her, mostly women. So, okay, let's be honest. It was a woman versus men type of discussion where the men felt like, how dare you? How dare you? As a woman, a wife, a mother, be saying openly that you feel like your husband gets attention and you don't get any and you want some. People took it to the extent of, oh, she's looking for somebody else. She might cheat on him if she hasn't cheated already. And all of these things. And then, like I said, the women, most of them were on the side of, she's just expressing what quote-unquote most women feel. I read that online and I just thought, okay. So to be honest, my first thought was I agreed with the side of people that felt like she was wrong for what she said. I think the forum that this conversation happened at was wrong. I think she, if that is what she meant to say, that Steph gets all this attention and she gets none and no men ever look at her and why don't any men look at her, if that's what she really literally meant, that wasn't the place to express it, right? Not on national or international television, not on international television turned social media turned everybody can see you and hear what you said and view everything. It was the wrong place to share those feelings. I think she should have kept those sentiments between her and Steph. But who knows, maybe this was a deliberate sort of thing to create buzz. They say all publicity is good publicity. Who knows? It could have been a bit of that too sprinkled in there. Who knows? But while I was kind of siding with the people that felt like she was dead wrong for what she said and where she said it, I started to focus more on the fact that she spoke about these groupies. And it got me to thinking. After a couple of days, I realized I remember the look on her face when she was talking. And side note, none of the curry women at that table looked like they wanted to be at that table. They all looked very uninterested, unimpressed, like, please, let's just get this over with kind of thing. Until it got quite, you know, steamy and controversial. But looking at Aisha's face when she said what she said and her whole demeanor overall during this red table talk, I am beginning to feel like just the words she chose, she mentioned groupies and nobody pays attention to her and Steph gets all this attention. And I don't think she wants to cheat on him. I don't think it's even about cheating or literally about wanting attention from men. I feel like at the root of this, looking at how she appeared to be on the show, I picked up some low self-esteem, some self-doubt, some I don't feel like enough, I don't feel worthy, and I'm worried about that. I picked up on some lack of self-worth, lack of standing in my role as mother, wife. I am the woman, and just a lot of insecurity. Now, she did say that. She did say, I know this might sound like I'm coming from a place of insecurity. Not in those words, not verbatim. But she did mention that she knows it's going to sound insecure. It's insecurity, but it's not insecurity as in, I want another man. I really don't think that's where it came from. It's insecurity of a woman who, like it or not, is in a life position where she's surrounded by other women. Number one, other women being the very groupies that she spoke about. Aisha is a mother of, I think, 3 kids. She's getting older. She's 30. She has 3 children. She doesn't look the way she looked a couple years back, obviously. And some people mentioned that she quote-unquote let herself go and all these things, and she's getting fat. And you know what, maybe they're right. Maybe she put on a couple of pounds. But women, we, as we age, we change. And I think Aisha knows very well, very fully well, that she has changed. And in the face of probably inadvertently, unwillingly having to be around a lot of loose, I guess, women, she feels unsure of herself. She probably doesn't feel as beautiful next to them. She probably doesn't feel as skinny next to them. She probably doesn't feel as eye-catching and eye-grabbing next to them. And it's not about wanting another man. I think it's about, I don't feel at my best and I'm looking and I'm forced to stand and witness all these other women who look their best throwing themselves at my husband. I don't think she wants to cheat on him. I don't think she wants literal attention from other men. I think she's feeling very, very poorly about herself inside compared to other women. And we, like it or not, women, we are masters of self-comparison. We compare ourselves to people on the internet, on Instagram, who's the latest big name influencer, celebrity, who has all these followers, who's getting all these clothes, who's getting all these travel trips, why don't I have all those things? We are masters of comparison. We do it a little bit too well as women. I know I'm guilty of it, and sometimes I have to just step back, step away from the world, especially the online world, and say to myself, you know what? No. I'm in my lane, I'm comfortable in my lane, and I'm gonna stay here. My time will come if it's meant to come. Aisha is doing what we do almost naturally. I almost said we can't help it, but we kind of can. And so that's a bit of the conversation that I want to have today as well. She is in a place of weakness that every woman goes through. Every woman goes through a place or a period of severe self-doubt, low self-esteem, and especially comparison, and it eats away at you if you let it. And it, listen, money, status, celebrity, I don't think it makes anybody immune from self-doubt and from low self-esteem and from feeling like crap every now and then or often. Self-doubt and comparison, I think, is at the whole root of this entire thing, and that's something internal that she's gonna have to work with, just like it's something internal that we all have to work on, not work with, my bad, work on. Wanted to touch on another significant response that the public seemed to have about this. A lot of people thought or expressed this idea of Aisha Curry has everything, she has it all, what more does she want? A lot of men were like, women, they always want more, and enough is never enough for them. She has all these great things and it's still not enough. Women are never satisfied. Again, I don't think she wants more. I don't think she's like holding her hand out saying, give me more than what I already have. I think she's looking at other women, looking at herself as opposed to them, and feeling that she doesn't measure up. And when we touch on the whole subject of having it all, it reminded me of something that I tend to hear a lot. Well, I used to hear a lot, especially growing up, as an adolescent into my teens, as a West Indian woman, as a Trinidadian by birth, born and raised for most of my life at least, one phrase that I heard quite a lot is, and if you know it, you know it, the phrase, you're too happy, or to say it in Trinidadian parlance, you're too happy. It essentially is uttered by the individual, more than likely from the baby boomer generation, go back, so significantly older, that feels like you have too much going for yourself to A, feel depressed, B, feel sad, C, want to aspire for more. It's their way of saying, be quiet, you have too much to be grateful for, you should not be saying X, Y, Z. And at the root of it is always having things and people feeling like because you have things, your life is perfect. I heard that one too many times growing up as a middle class single child, as a middle class only child, and perceived by so many people to be spoiled. I I'm still I was gonna say was, but I still am very much a daddy's girl. And so people would look on at my life and my lifestyle and the things that were afforded to me, whether by my parents or still afforded to me today, based on what I do, my career off the internet, of course, my 9-to-5, and they would say things like, you're too happy to be, one, feeling sad, two, feeling like you're not measuring up, three, feeling like you deserve more than what you have, four, feeling anxious, five, depressed, suicidal even. You are too happy because you have all these things, and yet, in spite of having all these things, you are feeling this. How dare you? So the sentiment that Aisha is getting online of you have it all and you're not satisfied is the similar sentiment of the you're too happy. You have all these things and yet you have the audacity to feel, you know, bad about yourself, to feel depressed, to feel sad. It's almost like, to give an extreme example, you're a millionaire and yet you're suicidal. How dare you feel suicidal when you have everything at your feet? People seem to not get that you can have so many things and afforded so many opportunities, which I think, again, are things mostly, and still deep down inside there are unresolved issues going on that will manifest itself in you just not feeling your best. And then by extension, that will affect your entire life. So in Trinidadian parlance, Aisha Curry is too happy. That's what some people would say about her. I don't agree, because like I said, I've been on the receiving end of the you're too happy stance of life, where I'm just not allowed to express negative emotions, to express pain, because I have all these things and I get all these things and I get to do all these things. So I get it. I get where Aisha's coming from. And coupled with the sentiment of, you know, she has so much, and then the self-doubt, and those two things competing, I think she really, really, and any person who's in a position of either self-doubt or feeling like nothing that they have makes them feel any better about themselves, in that case, self-examination is a must. Self-examination is a must. Knowing truly who you are and what your strengths are and what you bring to the table of life in general, and your existence and the existence of those around you and the people whose lives you impact, and the value that you as a person provide to people's lives around you, whether it's your children, your spouse who loves you very much, your extended family, people in your community that you help. Seeing your value, seeing and knowing your value, even while you might be comparing yourself to other people, talking to you, Aisha, don't compare yourself to the groupies. It's not healthy. It's so important in the face of comparison and doubt, and I'm not worthy, to step back, look within, examine yourself, know your value, and accept your value as a person. And even if that entails you speaking to other people and asking them how you show up in their lives and how you contribute to their well-being, people will be so appreciative of, you know, knowing sometimes that you've impacted their lives in some way. She needs to do a bit of self-examination off camera. And I think it speaks a lot to the everyday person as well. When those episodes of self-comparison and doubt and, oh, I don't measure up to this one and I need to be as skinny as that one or as well-dressed as this one and blah, 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 blah. When those things creep up, It's so important to take a step back, examine self, know your value and your worth to those who matter around you. Aisha, word to the wise, groupies don't matter. That's why they're groupies. They also have their own insecurities because, hello, they're chasing married men. But that's a different story for another day. Step back, evaluate self, know your value, stand in your value and your worth, even if it means asking other people. And as they say, stay in your lane. And that's not even a diss. That's not even like a slap in the face. That's stay in your lane in the best way possible. That's what I would say to her. And it was in a lot of ways a reminder to myself, because I have those moments of comparison and doubt too on a daily basis sometimes. And I just have to step back and say, hey, you matter just as much, if not more, in your own way, as your own person, as you, the individual. You will never be somebody else. Somebody else will never be you. And I wish I could tell Aisha Curry that. Of course, I can't. But looking at it from new perspectives, from new, like, mental eyes, I guess, I can see that it's so not a superficial, I want another man type thing. It's an internal pain, an internal conflict, this ease that she's feeling. And we all feel that, whether we want to admit it or not. Yeah. And so that's my 5 cents about the entire thing. But when those things happen for me, like I said, those moments, I step back, I look within, I remind myself of what I'm actually worth and what my actual value is. And I'm okay again. Sometimes it takes days. Sometimes it takes writing things down to remind myself, to cement the ideas in my mind and on paper where I can see them. But it always works. And so that's all I have to say on the matter, guys. I hope I didn't ramble too much. But thank you for joining me for another episode on the podcast. And if you'd like, share with me what your thoughts are on the entire situation and what you think about my perspective. I'd love to hear that as well. Drop me a reply back, or you can shoot me an email over on the blog, A New Lease on Life, LISE, on life.com. And we'll chat later. Thanks for listening.